Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Yes, this was a very busy week from many, many different fronts. So the election, as you know, is still winding on. And yes, that will have some impact on the market overall. We're still waiting to hear about Nevada. And of course, there'll be the runoff in Georgia, not too far off. Renewed hopes for peak Fed hawkishness on the back of cooler than expected domestic inflation data unleashed a historic rally in equities on Thursday. The S&P 500 rose 5.54% in a day. All the major indexes gapped higher at the open in the wake of a much cooler than feared October consumer price index report, which measures inflation. The monthly headline rose 0.4% versus the estimate of 0.7. So we're talking less than 0.3%. But the annual core figure fell to 6.3%. Again, the estimate was around 6.6. So traders began pricing in the Fed essentially peaking and reversing their course at some point. Not to say they're not going to keep raising rates, but not as severe as the market was thinking. The NASDAQ loved this, and for the day went up almost 6% in the early trading hours to finish up over 7% for the day. And as we know, yesterday was up in there almost 2%. So big week for tech stocks. And I'll have a little bit more about that in a second. Multiple Fed officials, including Harker and Logan, made comments that were dovish. And this suggested that the Fed is increasingly likely to slow the pace of the rate hikes next month. The Wall Street Journal's Timoros, who's a writer that people think is a mouthpiece for the Fed, said that the dovish comments hinted at a 50 basis point hike coming here in December. So odds of a 75 basis point rate hike in the market right now, well, they fell to 0%. Markets saw the terminal Fed rate expectation fall below 5% once again. And there were also sizable declines across the treasuries, including a more than 30 basis point drop in one day in the 10-year yield to a new one-month low, well below the 4% level. So I just want to say it's a very long way to go from here, but for the primary trend in the 10-year to decisively shift from bullish to neutral or bearish, we're going to need to see the yield drop below the August low of 2.6% on a lower time frame. Now, right now, the 10-year is around a 382, up year-to-date about 2.3%. For the broader markets, we got the Dow still down about 7.1%. You got the S&P off over 16%. NASDAQ still down 27.6%. And the international index, the EFI, off almost 20%. So we're still in a bear market territory, I would say. And the October close low on the 10-year treasury was a 362. So we should view that as the support for the treasury, and we'll need to see it get below that before I'm going to get too excited about anything out there. So not too far off, but again, these are historic rallies in all of the major U.S. stock indexes we saw this past week. And this was led by the tech sector, the NASDAQ, which on Thursday was up 7.35% in the day, and then yesterday finished off almost 2%. So you've seen almost a 10% swing there in really a couple days. And the S&P now is notably trading more than 10% off the year-to-date low. And in the near term, the upward momentum across the stock complex can continue to rise on optimism that the Fed is done. But to be clear, I think we're far from being able to confidently say that this broader stock market, this bear market that we've been experiencing this year, is over. Looking at the charts, again, this is technical charts, this rally resembles the other bear market rallies we saw this year. And there's no reason to believe this is any different. Real bear market bottoms are formed on the back of investor capitulation and panic. And we just have not seen that in 2022. Additionally, there are almost always multiple tests of a newly formed bottom as it's built out as a formidable support level. So the October low could be classified as a V-shaped bottom, again, resembling those rallies we've seen in March and in June. But this rally could extend up to 41 to 4,200. I heard lots of people this week talking about 48 and 4,900. I just don't see that happening. So without a series of higher lows and higher highs being realized over a more significant time frame, say multiple quarters, not just weeks or days, then we'll remain skeptical of the rally from a purely technical perspective. And I'd urge you to keep an eye out for a retest of the lows that I've been calling. I'll get to that in a second. The big news this week, obviously, economically, was the CPI. Again, I've given you those numbers. It was a good number, plain and simple. The pace of inflation eased substantially, evidenced by the fact that year-over-year inflation rose less than 8% for the first time in several months. And of greater importance was the composition of the data, specifically the shelter costs. They declined by, again, very small measure, 0.1%. And that's the first time we've seen that since May of 20. And this matters because housing prices operate on a big lag when it comes to the CPI. Housing prices are still reflecting the appreciation we saw in earlier in 2022, not the peak and easing that we've seen over the past several months. And that matters because in the coming months, shelter costs will start to weigh on CPI. And that means that some real downward momentum in 23 is very likely. And that should cause the Fed to pause and possibly pivot and go the other direction. So it's just one report, and CPI at 7.7 year over year is still a long way from the Fed's 2% target. But it's encouraging because it's showing a real easing in inflation pressure. And yesterday we had the University of Michigan consumer confidence. The most consumers we talked to are just feeling down. It was 54.7 in November. It was 59.9 in October. So almost a 5-point drop there. And then inflation, their numbers came out. They're looking at 5.1% on the 1 year and 3% on the 5 year. Other sources I'm seeing right now are calling for 4%. Inflation next year, just based on what's happening. But we'll just have to see what happens. And again, the market likes this sort of action. And as we saw in the Treasury market, the 10-year Treasury versus the 2-year spread, remember that signifies a bear market. It barely moved this past week and stayed deeply negative at negative 51 basis points as the bond market didn't really register the softer than expected CPI as changing the economic outlook for the better. If it had, we'd have seen the 10-2s rise sharply, but that just didn't happen. And that's because the labor market still remains tight. The Fed needs labor to deteriorate to pivot. And so bottom line, the CPI was a step in the right direction, but the violent moves in the stock market again imply that the market expects an imminent Fed pivot. And we want to push back on that notion because none of the Fed's goals, inflation near 2%, balanced labor market, reduced balance sheet, are even close to being realized. So while stocks can rally on the momentum, we're likely not to see anything substantial. And I just see that's what's happening. So what should you be doing? Well, right now, obviously, we were talking about growth and value, having some exposure to growth. Growth got punished this year pretty badly. Value held up very well, as it does in this sort of a market. You saw growth do super well this week. So again, that's why you have to have exposure to these areas. And I know having a 60-40 portfolio this year has been depressing. It's the first time in a very, very long time that we had the 60-40 portfolio down year to date as of the end of the third quarter, almost 21%. We haven't seen that since 2008. And so, you know, it seems like you couldn't hide out in bonds because they were getting punished just as bad as stocks. And so as we see the yield start to come down, that will change. And so, you know, be careful if you're thinking about making any radical changes to your portfolio overall. So where are the targets now on the S&P? Great question. So since we got through 3992 on Friday, the next resistance level on the upside is 4084. And now the support levels before we would break down again would be 3720. So we've got quite a ways to go on the S&P. We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.